meeting of the Lawrence Township Zoning Board of Adjustment has been provided by filing the annual meeting schedule with the municipal clerk as required by law, and by filing this agenda and notice with the municipal clerk, posting prominently in the municipal building, and mailing to the Trentonian newspaper. Can we call the roll?
Mr. Blaney?
Present.
Ms. Denver? Mr. Cohen?
Here.
Ms. Holtham?
Present.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Ms. Sigalakis?
Here.
And Mr. Camasco?
Here.
Great, so first up we have meetings for approval. We have for June 18th and August 20th. I suspect there are different people who are present for...
Unfortunately, the minutes are not available, so okay. We will have them next time.
All right, no problem. Moving on to public participation, so this is for items that are not on the agenda tonight. Seeing none, we move on to our application this evening for use variance application ZB5-25 New and Living Ministries, 2500 Brunswick Pike.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll try to keep my voice up. If I can speak into this, I will, but I'll try to speak as loudly as I can.
Or if you push the button.
Hit the button.
Oh, there you go.
How about now? Can you hear me better?
Yeah,
wow, okay, great. Excellent. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kevin DeDuke. I'm the interim principal attorney of KB Law in Haddonfield. For purposes of your record, my last name is spelled D-I-D-U-C-H and pronounced DeDuke, but please just call me Kevin. That's the easiest thing. It's my privilege this evening to present an application on behalf of my client, New and Living Way Ministries, for a property at 25 Brunswick, on the Brunswick Pike, also known as Route 1, here in the township of Lawrence. The property is identified on your tax map as Block 2201, Lot 17.02, and it's designated in your highway commercial or your HC zone. This evening, the applicant is seeking two forms of relief. One is a use variance under Section 420-B to operate what is going to be called a church. Offering worship services, small group gatherings, and one-on-one mentorship, certain designated times of the day. The applicant is here as well. She'll testify and give some operations testimony to that effect. And additionally, some parking variances under Section 530C2 of your ordinance. We do have two individuals who are going to present tonight. One is sitting immediately to my right. That's Mr. Samuel Agresta. He's going to be our civil engineer as well as professional planner. He'll be offering some planning testimony this evening. And then I do have Ms. Shannon Mason, who's the owner and operator of New and Living Way Ministries, and she'll be offering that operations testimony that we referred to earlier. So if I could have our professionals brought in and sworn in for purposes of the application, as well as Ms. Mason to have her sworn in for her portion of the testimony, I would appreciate that. Thank you very much. You can step forward, Sam.
Madam Chair, I'll indicate that proof of notice, proof of publication, or an order, we do have jurisdiction this evening. If all three of you would just raise your right hand, or two of you.
I can do it, too.
You swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful.
I do.
We'll start with Ms. Mason. If you would introduce yourself, spell your last name for our record.
Mason, M-A-S-O-N.
Thank you. And Sam?
Yes, Sam Agresta, A-G-R-E-S-T-A.
Okay. Sam, have you appeared before this board in the past?
I have not, no.
Okay, could you just provide the board with some of your credentials, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to do so. I'm the owner and principal engineer and planner of the firm Agresta Engineering and Planning. I'm a licensed engineer and professional planner in the state of New Jersey. Both of my licenses are currently in good standing. I have a bachelor's degree of architectural engineering and construction management from Drexel University. I've provided expert testimony in both the capacity of engineer and planner at numerous municipalities throughout the state. Just earlier this week, we were down in Burlington County providing testimony in both capacities in Evesham Township.
Okay, so for purposes of our record, I would submit Mr. Agresta both as an expert in professional planning as well as civil engineering.
Great.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Agresta, if you could put your first exhibit up for us, please.
Sure, we'll log this in as exhibit A1. That's the only exhibit we have this evening, and we'll refer to this as the variance plan. Now, this was part of the initial application submission, so it should be in any packets or any information that you already have. So just to kind of paint the picture and take a look at the site itself and where we're at, the address is 2500 Brunswick Pike, identified as block 2201, lot 7.02. The lot of concern is basically this L-shaped lot here, really kind of gray shaded building. We have commercial uses to both the left and the right. We're located right on Brunswick Pike. Our building is approximately 7,700 square feet, and there's 44 parking stalls available within the limits of our site. So as you can see, and I'm sure you're all aware, the site is fully developed. It has utilities, landscaping, lighting, etc. As part of our project, we're not proposing any exterior improvements. Everything will remain as is. So this evening, as Kevin said, we are seeking D1 use variance for approval in the zone for a house of worship or a church. So when seeking use variances, we are obligated to provide both positive and negative criteria. So outlined in the municipal land use law, it's section 32-5.3, they use this term inherently beneficial. Now this only applies to certain instances, and one of those instances happens to be a house of worship. So in turn, house of worship tend to provide social, emotional benefits, an area for spiritual growth, different things to that effect. So being inherently beneficial automatically satisfies the special reasons, the positive criteria. So the real crux of our application really lies in the negative criteria, the two-pronged approach. And the first prong of that is that this use can be granted without causing substantial harm to the public good. So being inherently beneficial outlines certain points, saying that there are certain social benefits to a church. These are seen as places of gathering, places of community, morals, spiritual growth, families and friends tend to gather here, emotional support, different things like this all really tie in to that inherently beneficial use. So another piece of the negative criteria is that our proposed use will not at all disturb our neighbors or interrupt the existing site as it sits today, and nor will it interrupt any future growth for the area. Being integrated into a highway commercial area as we are, there's already established traffic patterns, there's established work hours, which are typical work hours, as we all know, are in that 8 to 5 range for most of us, where religious facilities tend to operate a little bit off of that traditional time frame. Ms. Mason will give some testimony about such things as like evening Bible study or something to that effect. And then religious ceremonies would take place typically more on the weekends. So there shouldn't be any conflict with any organizations, businesses that now operate there, as a bulk of our activities will happen outside of standard working hours. There will be some daytime activities as well. When it comes to our parking relief that we're seeking, 44 stalls are on the site. We have a total demand for the building in aggregate, that's our use, and the other use of 47 stalls. So supported by my previous testimony of kind of those off traditional hours of operation, it's certainly justification for that minor relief that we're asking for on the site. The second prong of the negative criteria is it will not significantly impair the purpose of the zoning ordinance or the master plan. So I took a look at the 2023 re-examination master plan, and on page 37, it outlines several goals and objectives of the master plan, which were initially identified in the 1995 master plan. There's, I believe, a total of 7 goals outlined in that, and I believe the first two directly pertain to our application. And they're not numbered, they're bulleted under that section. So the first one states that it will guide physical and economic development of the township toward the goals in the master plan, thereby benefiting public health, safety, and welfare. Again, tying directly back into that inherently beneficial use, which, you know, our proposed use strongly supports that one goal of the objective, of the goals and objectives of the master plan. The second one is, again, directly tied into it. It encourages and promotes social interaction of groups and individuals to maintain strength of community. By definition, religious institutions directly and strongly support this objective of the goal. The other five goals, I'm not going to read through them all, but our proposed use does not in any way conflict with any of the remaining goals in the master plan that were identified. So when we take a look at the application of the whole, I am strongly of the opinion that the benefits of our proposed use strongly outweigh any detriments that may come of this. I don't really see any, there may be minimal detriments, if any. So in my opinion, you know, the benefits strongly outweigh the detriments, and this is a positive or good application for the township.
Okay, thank you, Sam. If we could have Ms. Mason step forward and just provide a little bit of testimony on the operations of the site. Ms. Mason, if you could just familiarize the board with your ministry and how you intend to operate on this site.
Sure. So a little bit of background. Our ministry is 21 years old. We just turned 21 last weekend. We didn't just start yesterday. We've been around for a while. We actually started at a site, a location in Lawrence, and then we were 10 years in the 11 years in Trenton. We are a small congregation, and certainly since the pandemic, we probably have about half on any given Sunday, about half of our membership that are logging in online. Our typical weekly programming would involve weekly on-site programming, because we do a lot of things virtually now. We do a lot of meetings virtually. Our weekly Bible study is virtual. The biggest thing is our Sunday morning gathering, which is, you know, the biggest thing for most churches. Families, you know, young adults, older adults, we gather for worship every Sunday, usually about 30 a.m. Our congregation is largely families and working individuals. As a pastor, it is really challenging that I don't have anybody that's retired, because they don't have time. So we don't really do anything during the day. The things that we would do during the day would be if I were having a one-on-one meeting with someone. I also have another business. I have a business in addition to being a pastor. So our activity is primarily evening and Sunday morning, in addition to occasional we have like women's ministry gatherings or something like that on Saturday morning. We do trauma healing group. We have people who are, I am a psychologist by training, so a lot of the stuff that we do is really integrating mental health and faith. So we have people who are trained facilitators in trauma healing groups, and so that's something that we offer to the community, where they go through 6 to 8 week trauma healing sessions that, again, would also be either in the evening or on a Saturday morning. And those are really the bulk of our activities. Again, in terms of timing, whether we're doing tutoring, whether we're doing women's ministry, whether we're doing men's ministry gatherings, everything for us really is the evening and the weekend, because everybody is working during the day, including myself.
Okay, very good. How many people would you say are included in your congregation?
So we probably have about 75 to 100 members, but those include people virtually all over the country. We have virtual members in North Carolina, we have virtual members in Georgia, but in attendance, we usually have about 30 to 40 adults.
30 to 40 adults, okay. How many
30 to 40 people in attendance.
How many employees does the church have?
Employees, I don't even know. I guess I would be an employee.
You certainly
of the church,
sure.
I suppose. And then we have two musicians that we pay, I guess. And that's it.
Okay.
In our previous location, we will have to hire like cleaning people.
Right. Okay. And your location in Trenton, is that going to continue to operate, or is that going to be closed?
No. So our previous location in Trenton was 501B Spruce Street. It is now a grocery store. So we're not there anymore. We're virtual while we're making this transition.
Okay, so the one office that's shown on the original plans that we submitted to the board, really that's just going to accommodate you for your needs, correct?
And it's really just for privacy. So, you know, people need to have a meeting with the pastor for whatever reason. It's just for privacy.
So it's more of a meeting room than an office.
Right, and okay. It's set up as an office, but, you know, it's not even a place where I report every day. I do most of my work in my home office.
Okay. The plans that we submitted also reference a kitchen. Can you describe what we we mean by when we say kitchen and how that space is intended to be used?
Yeah, so not a kitchen. Probably more like a food staging area. In our 21 years, we even though we've been in locations that have full active kitchens, we've never done any like cooking on site. We will have refreshments. So it's kind of like a staging area so that sandwiches and juices and chips and cookies can be kept until service is let out and then they're served. But there's no, you know, food being prepared.
Okay, understood. Madam Chair, I'm not sure if you want us to turn to your professionals and the letters they provided, or if the board has questions for either Mr. Agresta or Ms. Mason.
Typically, we start with questions from our professionals and
okay.
Then move on the questions from the board.
Very good. Thank you.
Did you order the rooms?
I did.
Oh.
You did, Gary?
I did not. I'm sorry. Want me to go first?
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. I wrote a letter dated September 11th, 2025. We gave some basic information about the application and the subject property. Aerial photo on page 2 just kind of shows you the location, similar to what Mr. Agresta has provided. Obviously, this use is not permitted in the highway commercial district, so they do need a D1 use variance. The standard that we're going to use, as I outlined in the memo, is you know, this is a little lesser legal burden, we'll say, on inherently beneficial use. So we don't have to talk about the positive criteria. We don't have to talk about the site being suitable for the use. That's all determined through case law that is presumptively satisfied. So when we turn to the negative criteria for an inherently beneficial use, we use what's called the CECA balancing test. It's a four-part test that I outline here in the memo. So we want to focus on really four parts. First, identify the public interest at stake. Mr. Agresta provided some testimony that I think addresses what the board needs to hear on that. Any detrimental effects, so as Mr. Agresta pointed out, this is an existing developed site. It has primarily commercial uses surrounding. We do have some residential uses to the rear of the property. We also heard some testimony about the fact that this is really going to occur when the other medical office tenants aren't going to be on the site. Any conditions that the board can place, you know, in terms of impact, generally what the case law says is any conditions that we want to impose has to have a rational nexus to the roof. So if, you know, this was a facility that opened 24/7 and it was a gas station, we might be thinking differently than a church that, you know, has limited use of the facility, limited people coming to and from the site. The one thing we did note, so there were some pine trees that were planted along the back adjacent to those residential uses a long time ago. As is typical with pines, a lot of the lower branches died, they got limbed up. So if you've been out to the site, you see there's a wall and then those residential uses have fences there, but the buffering's kind of gone. Now, the applicant's just gonna be a tenant on this site. I don't think it's unreasonable to request, or if you decided that, you know, there was impact from this use and this applicant that needed to be addressed in the form of additional buffering, then that would be an appropriate condition. And if you do that, then you kind of give less weight to that potential detriment if we're mitigating it through a condition that you're going to place on the applicant. And then when we balance those, you take the positive versus any potential negatives, taking into account any of the mitigation. The positives outweigh, the analysis would be that there's no substantial detriment to the public good. While they're not held to the Medici enhanced proof, they do have to show that there's no substantial impairment to the intent purpose of the zone plan. We did provide the purpose statement. Mr. Agresta went through a couple of the goals in the master plan that he felt were supported. So that's for you to kind of weigh as you think about this. Another part of this is a waiver of site plan request. We do have standards whereby an applicant would be entitled to an exemption. The issue here is that they do need a parking variance and they are increasing parking demand. So the board can waive site plan requirements at its discretion if these A, B, C, D is not met. So the ordinance does give you the ability to waive the requirement for site plan approval, and I outline it here. If the proposed development, alteration, repair, or change of use or occupancy does not affect the existing conditions of the lot or premises, including topography, vegetation, drainage, floodplains, marshes and waterways, open space, walkways, means of ingress and egress, utility services, landscaping, signs, lighting, and screening devices, and the considerations of site plan review. So, despite the fact they don't meet for an exemption, in your authority, you can grant an exemption from the site plan requirements. Personally, I don't think it's inappropriate here. They're not changing anything on the site. You know, we have uses that are going to function at different times. I don't personally don't see any compelling need to require them to file for site plan approval. If the board were going to require some additional buffering there, either Brenda or I could work with the applicant to just, you know, I'm thinking something like Green Giant Arborvitae or some, you know, hardy, fast-growing evergreen that'll just give some screening to the parking lot.
Can I just jump in here?
Of course.
And then if the board were to require that, then they might consider a condition such that this landscaping was installed prior to issuance of the certificate of occupancy.
But other than that, we had some comments that I think you'll go through, you know, when we get there, but I had some very basic questions about the floor plan. It shows a bathroom that exists in this space now that I think is being removed. So I was just curious about accessibility to bathrooms, if there are any building code issues related to that, because you have to have a certain number of toilets. Now, if they're accessible in a hallway, that's probably fine. I'll admit, I don't know a whole lot about the building code. That would be an issue that their architect would typically handle. Related to that as well, occupancy and access, ingress and egress, based on the occupancy of the building, is the single access point sufficient for fire code purposes? I noted that there is a door on the back that comes out of the back of the building that is adjacent to this suite, but it just wasn't clear to me if they have the ability to access that or not. Talked about the buffer already. And then the parking, I think Mr. Agresta had used a general office standard to calculate the existing uses, but it needed to be medical, so that kind of changed the parking calculation. So they're short three spaces. I think the testimony that Mr. Agresta provided as far as, you know, the most of the medical office uses are going to be daytime uses. They might have some evening stuff, but it sounds like there's not going to be any worship services in the evening, so not really a lot of potential for conflict. So it's essentially a good shared parking arrangement, I would say, with these various uses. And again, it's, you know, we're really talking about three spaces, so it's not a significant departure in my view. So what we did hear some testimony from Mr. Agresta to support that variance, so you're just judging if you feel they met the criteria on that. Other than that, I don't have anything else. Okay. And no questions based on what we heard.
Thank you. Okay, many of my questions, excuse me, were also answered. With the exception of signage, do you plan any exterior signage?
That's a great question for the applicant.
Yeah, so the signage, per the lease agreement, I don't know what you call it, they had the big sign, the marquee with the signage for everything that's in the building. So we would be on that signage.
Okay,
and there wouldn't be any additional signage.
So you just intend to replace the panel with
yes.
your own message?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. My recommendation would be to upgrade the handicap parking signage and striping.
Well, sort of to Mr. Kyle's point, you know, she's a tenant, right? So she's sort of limited in her ability to make those types of improvements. But certainly the applicant would be open to coordinating or making that request to her landlord to facilitate that.
Okay.
And I think the issue with
reasonable.
I mean, in my view, the issue of handicap signage, if the signage doesn't comply with the current ADA code, it's an issue for the landlord.
If
somebody comes, gets injured, it's going to be a problem for them.
Correct.
So I think particularly the handicap space, that should really be on the landlord.
Yeah.
Because you're not the only tenant on the site.
Wholeheartedly right? agree with you.
Landscaping, you know, I get it. It's probably not an expense that you want to go through. You know, definitely talk to the landlord.
Yeah, we would ask if there was a condition of approval attached related to landscaping, that the applicant be allowed to make a good faith effort to coordinate with her landlord to facilitate that. That would be our ask in terms of the relief if it was qualified.
Is Thompson Realty the owner of this?
Yes.
Thompson's the
Yeah, it's my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah. Big company.
I'm sorry, it's no longer owned by Thompson Management. It's owned by Adi Estates LLC.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that, so, sorry.
So are you suggesting that you would attempt to facilitate these improvements, but if the landlord didn't do it, then you would be responsible, or you would just try to facilitate the landlord doing it?
The handicap parking, I think we can all agree that that's a responsibility the landlord should take on. And I think the applicant would be, it would be in her best interest and the landlord's best interest to facilitate that. For the trees, for the landscaping, that's something that the applicant would be open to, but at the same time, you know, she can't plant a tree on property that's not hers. So there's a limitation there for her that it's not something that I would expect the landlord to object to per se. Obviously they want a paying tenant and they want this paying tenant. So for the cost of a couple of trees, it may be worth it. But I just don't want to tether the approval to her having to plant those additional trees. Unless Ms. Mason has a different opinion, she wants to take on that responsibility if the landlord does not agree to make those improvements.
I mean, I think we're open to it. I would think that any kind of external work that needs to be done would fall on the landlord. So I don't think that's something that we expected to need to work on the outside.
Understood.
But, you know, we also have relationships through my consulting work with conservation organizations across the state. And so that might be some conversations that I can have with some of those organizations that are doing the planting.
But if push came to shove, and it was the difference between getting your approvals,
then we would have to, I might be out there myself planting some trees.
There we go. There we go. So yes, if push came to shove, the applicant would be willing to do that if necessary.
Have you signed your lease with the new?
So we have a lease that is contingent upon approval.
Okay, fine.
Which out that we had to have a lease in order to.
Well, maybe we could word the language to the effect that that if it is approved, it would be subject to the landlord addressing these two issues, with the understanding that if the landlord balked on doing that, you would step up on the trees, and hopefully somebody else might volunteer to do the striping, but. I think we could put that in there, and your landlord reads that, and you say, good news is we got approval, but there are two conditions in there which only you can address. I would suspect your landlord would take care of it. So we can put the language in.
I think that's a solid plan.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is I kind of view site plan approvals as in perpetuity. So if you're required to install landscaping and all of a sudden it gets wiped out or somebody removes it, I think you're responsible to ensure that it's the way that it's supposed to be. So I think you could almost say that, you know, obviously they didn't build this site, they just bought it, right from
correct.
Thompson. So that might help you a little bit with the landlord. And you know, I don't disagree that it's generally their responsibility.
Sure.
You know, and if this were a permitted use that was just seeking a certificate of occupancy, we wouldn't even see this. So we wouldn't have an opportunity to address it, so.
Okay. If it's okay, I'm gonna turn to the other comments.
I think Mr. Cohen has a
question. Oh, sorry, sir.
I'm sorry, I'll wait for you to finish.
All right, that's fine. Ms. Mason, concerning the existing bathroom on the property, can you just provide the board with some information as to how that's gonna be used?
Sure, so the bathroom that is in the suite currently, important that the suite was previously a physical therapy office, which is why I think it probably has a bathroom in there.
Correct.
There is public bathroom space for the entire building in the downstairs hallway, which is accessible by a stairwell and an elevator. So we're removing the bathroom because we don't want a bathroom into our sanctuary, and there's more than adequate other space.
Okay. So long as they have public access to a bathroom in,
yes.
within the building,
yes.
I think that satisfies the board and its concerns. We talked about the ingress and egress. We talked about the trees. I think that was everything from the letter. If I'm missing something, please correct me, but I think we've addressed most of the concerns. We would go back, at least in part, to the site plan waiver. that would be a request of the applicant this evening. To piggyback off of Mr. Kyle's point, I do think that the board has the appropriate discretion to grant that relief.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas, did you want to ask your question?
Yes, I have a question for Ms. Mason. You mentioned something at the beginning of your presentation. I'm glad to believe there's music programs, especially during the services, I would assume. Do you have a room in the suite to house musical equipment?
So we usually would just have it in what it would be our sanctuary, essentially. So it's not locked away separately, no.
Okay. Can you comment on what type of instruments and what type of music, amplifiers, sound system?
Sure. Within the limits of my ability. So we have a keyboardist and we have a drummer. And then we have singers, and that's it. We don't have, you know, a ten piece band. We're kind of simple.
Okay. Are you planning on doing anything with the space for soundproofing?
We were not.
Okay.
But the applicant will agree to comply with all existing noise ordinances within the township. So that's certainly.
Well, I'm just looking at the plan, and you know, housing to and where the property is. The rear of the property, houses are abutting this property. Mm-hmm. And I'm just concerned about the noise factor, especially on Sundays. And, you know, this is, you know, the building has been there for 50 or however many years. You know, it's all been office, so there's no sound problems. Now all of a sudden, you're changing the character of, you know, this house is right up against the property line. And I'm just concerned about the level of noise, music, whatever.
Sure. I will say that we've been in neighborhoods for 21 years. We've never had a single solitary noise complaint at all. But we're also doing renovations. And so that's something that we can, I think, you know, there's soundproofing things that can go, again, not my area of expertise, but that is something that can be addressed on some level through the renovations.
Okay. Do you have windows in your suite?
No. You know what? I don't remember. It's been
so
a while.
Is this the low?
I've been
there.
There are
windows in the suite.
There are.
Okay. There are. Sorry.
They're not open.
Is this lower?
They don't open.
Is this lower level space or there's two floors? Is this the lower level?
Ground level.
Yeah, there's only one level in the building. It's a single story.
There's a lower level.
Yeah, but
one rentable.
There's a lower level to the property, and then the main level.
So this is the main
level. Hold on a second.
I'm sorry.
If you hear it before, I don't know who you are. You swear the testimony you're about to give is truth.
Yes.
And your name, please, spell it for our secretary.
Tracy Brannigan, Brannigan. I'm with Princeton Realty Management Group. I represent the owner and landlord, Oddby Estates, LLC. So to answer your question, there is a main level where their suite would be located, and there's a lower level to the property, which is occupied by two medical practices, two psychology practices, and a small software company.
You heard the colloquy about the trees in the back a little bit and doing the striping, and you represent the landlord. What do you think? Are you going to recommend that to him?
I would recommend absolutely the striping for the handicapped parking space. And as far as the trees, I don't recall what's there now or how many, and then how many are requested to be planted there to replace what's there. Do we have a number that would be required?
The way we normally would work it would be that your representative would work with somebody here at the township, take a look and see where it's thinned out, and then come up with an agreement about how many types of trees or bushes should go in there. And you know, Brenda and Jim are very reasonable in that respect. So we don't have a number, but we would go out there and meet with you and say, we need two trees here, we need three trees there, one tree, whatever it might be. But it would be good to know, I think, for the board that you believe you have a cooperative client there, and they would work if it was reasonable.
We do, and I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
question related to the other businesses that are in this building. I recall the testimony in the application that there's a psychologist's office or some other medical office. Do you know if they have any weekend hours?
Not to my knowledge. That would be a question for Ms. Bragg.
I can find out. All of the tenants do have access to their space during those times. I don't think they have any. I mean, I can find out and let the board know. But as I'm aware, they're Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
And were they noticed as part of this process? Because I'm just thinking, if you're a psychologist's office next door, a noise issue, I don't know how far it is from this building to, say, the residential properties, but certainly if you're sharing a wall with another tenant who's trying to conduct therapy sessions and having music, that to me is a more immediate potential noise issue.
We do not require the tenants to be noticed. The law requires the properties within 200 feet.
Okay. Mr. Gunn?
The parking issue we can overcome very easily, and that is, in my professional career, we've had to do matrix, listing the tenant or the space and showing the hours are there, and then obviously that will also prove to the board and to the professionals here that, the hours of the other tenants don't have any impact on, one night a week and then Sunday mornings. So I think that's pretty easy to resolve.
So the three tenants that are on Google, most of them have very limited hours. Some are only 3 days a week. There's no...
no Sunday hours.
So Diamond Touch Functional Medicine is a Friday 11 to 5, Saturday 10 to 2 p.m., and Sunday 10 to 2 p.m.
If you have that already, okay. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are other tenants in the building that just aren't coming up, but that's the three that I see. The other two all have only 3 days a week and they're limited hours.
I have a question that I think is for Ms. Brannigan. Brannigan, right?
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
How long is your company now owned the place?
It's not my company.
Oh,
I
no.
just represent the
Okay, I'm sorry.
They've owned it for about a year.
Okay, great. So did you say you're the real estate agent, or you're the
agent?
Okay, so about a year. To your knowledge, and it's okay if you haven't heard this. So, has the landlord heard any complaints from any of the residents in the back that reside behind it about anything, and in particular anything related to screening or noise?
We've managed the property for them. The current landlord. We also manage the property for the former landlord, Thompson Management, and I do not know of any noise complaint at this location.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other members of board questions?
Yeah, could you tell us a bit about, I think you told us about some of the programs that are specifically for the congregation. Are there any other community programs we should be aware of, either from your previous location or that you'd be bringing here?
So some of our main community programs are our grocery giveaway, which is pretty self-explanatory. We twice a month give out groceries, fresh produce, baked goods, etc. Through our partnership with the Mercer Street Friends Food Bank. Our trauma healing. I should not have, I hope I didn't give the impression that the things that I mentioned were just for our church. Everything that we do is open to the community. Our trauma healing groups are a particular focus for us in terms of outreach to the community. They actually started, we got trained in facilitation in response to some community violence that was pretty immediate for us, and did that specifically to be able to reach out to the community. We have a lot of mental health expertise in our church, and so we make use of that. Also our gatherings, so our men's gatherings, our women's gatherings, a lot of times people who are not oriented to church actually find it easier to connect through those types of activities that can cover a broad range of things, from discussions about particular issues to creative engagements, etc. We've done tutoring programs. We've done, you know, math tutoring programs for kids in the community. We also tend to be kind of responsive to the feedback that we're getting about the needs of the community. So at one point we got, you know, a lot of feedback that in one district in Trenton, a lot of the parents who were recent immigrants were bringing their kids to school and the parents didn't have coats. So we did a coat drive for the parents. So we kind of tend to like what's going on in our environment and how can we meet the need. But everything that we do is open to the community.
Thank you, that's really good to understand. I have two questions that I think are related. One is, we talked a little bit about the parking, but are you anticipating that most of the members that are coming to the congregation are coming in individual cars?
They are not. They are not. I almost laughed when he said 40-something parking. If I needed 40-something parking spaces, I would not be looking at this suite.
And is your choice of this location, you mentioned you were in Lawrence and then Trenton and then back in Lawrence, is your choice of this location related to the congregation's preferences or location or anything like that?
So we have members from, we have been in Trenton, but our members are from, we have some now from Pennsylvania that just came into for us. So we have folks in South Jersey, we have, and all literally but one person in our church drive, but they're mostly families. So the location, to be honest, before we had to settle on this location, we had a church that was willing to give us their previous church building. They said, you can use this. We did not because it's not accessible. And it was an old building, so there was no way to make it accessible. So a big reason why we were inclined toward this is how accessible it is. We do not have a lot of members who have need for wheelchair access, but the ones that we do are important to us. They're able to access. So the accessibility, both in terms of its location on Route 1, because we do have people coming from so many different places, and then it just being handicap accessible, which is a significant concern of ours.
Thank you, that's really helpful.
Any more questions from the board?
Sorry, I missed one. We talked about the size of the current congregation and the fact that some are remote. Are you anticipating growing the congregation? Should that be a factor here? And if so, would that be more virtual or in person?
So our growth has been, there's been a lot of virtual growth, which has been an adjustment for me. We're 21, so the pattern has been there's growth and decline, right? So we've kind of stayed around the same. We have people now that are relocating, and then we have people that are coming in from the community. So I don't anticipate we're gonna outgrow this space. That would be a great problem to have. But I don't anticipate, you know, we'll be there for 6 months and outgrow the space.
Any further questions from the board?
I don't have any questions.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be asking too many questions. I think overall, I mean, it sounds like the biggest variance is for parking. I think it's resolvable with no issues. Again, my concern is the noise factor. I don't care about the noise factor bothering any tenants in the building. That's up to the landlord to worry about that. But you have a dozen homes directly behind this. Mm-hmm. And if the volume is more than just speaking volume, I'm just concerned having a negative impact on the neighbors to the rear. Mm-hmm. I guess on the sides, it's all commercial, so I'm not concerned about that, but I am concerned about the dozen houses directly behind us. Mm-hmm. How, you know, even though, you know, people, you know, the board may require some type of screening to replace the shrubs that are gone, that's not really going to be a super sound modifier to reduce the sound. How else will you propose to reduce the noise level to a moderate noise level? You mentioned drums. You mentioned other, I mean, these are not quiet instruments.
So one of the things that I have seen, it's ugly, but it's effective. I've seen churches have, I don't know what it's called. I'm looking back to this drummer. So the screen for so there's a screen around the drummer to muffle the sound of the drumming. But I've also seen, I don't know what it's called, I'm sorry, not my area of expertise, but there's almost like a padding that goes up on the walls, like panels on the walls.
It's soundproof.
See, it's good to have people that know what they're actually talking about. But that is something that we certainly could consider.
Thank you.
We definitely want to be good neighbors. We don't want to ruin. We've had a good reputation for being good neighbors all this time. We'd like to keep that.
Yeah, so as a condition of approval, you'd agree to install some sort of soundproof padding in the area where the drumming will take place?
Mm-hmm. Or any other, I don't, you know, the other instruments in the future. Keyboard, you can keep it soft or you can blast it. So it's not the instrument that's the problem for me. It's the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, if they're trying to sleep on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or whatever, and they hear all this music going.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
So I'm sure the board will have a chance to talk about conditions, but I just wanted to state for the record, just preview how I'm thinking about this. This property is on Route 1 in a highway commercial zone. I mean, if you stood next to Route 1, my partner lives off of Route 1, I'm not concerned about noise at all coming from this property. I just want to say that for the record. So I don't know if that's shared among other people on the board. I respect Mr. Cohen's opinion on this, but that's not something certainly that I will be pushing for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from the board? Would you like to have a discussion? Have anything on the record regarding this application?
Yeah, I just want to ask the professional. Is sound something that we should be considering as part of this application, or is that for police or for, you know, other officials in the township if it comes up?
I mean, you're considering any impact in a use variance, but I think Jeff makes a good point. It's, you know, the other thing is this is a fully masonry building, and I think what we heard is that the windows are not operable. So it's not like it's going to be a Sunday morning, they're going to throw the window up and, you know, music would spill out. I think you kind of have to judge if you think it's an issue or not, give it the appropriate weight.
But the time to consider it is now, because after the fact, it's just an enforcement issue.
Right.
Any more comments for the record?
I guess I'll make mine at the moment. With respect to the board professionals, I'm actually not in favor, in this case, of imposing a screening requirement. And my rationale is it doesn't exist at the moment. And we've heard testimony under oath from the management company that is managing the property that they haven't heard any complaints about it. And I think, you know, the management company is here on the record. They've heard that it's a concern of the township. It's between them and the landlord to work on. I'm just not personally in favor of posting that legal condition upon the tenant in this case to make sure that gets done. I don't know how the board members feel about that. It's not going to be a deal breaker for me if it's in the requirements, but I just want to say I don't see why we're considering it in this case. I understand it's something that's considered in every application, but in this case, the applicant is a tenant and not the owner of the property.
I mean, I thought the suggestions by the professionals made sense with the additional screening. I get what Jeff's saying. It's hard when you're a tenant. It's always hard for your tenant, but if they could work together, that would be great for everybody. And it would be great. I mean, it sounded like there was some openness to the sound and stuff too. I kind of agree with Jeff that they're on Route 1 already, but as Brenda suggested, if we can be a little preventative and people are open to doing that, there's no harm.
Okay, so it seems like there's a couple of things for the board to consider. First is the potential waiver of the site plan requirement. Would any members of the public like to ask a question of any of the witnesses that we've heard from tonight? Would anyone like to make a statement? Okay.
Oh, hold on.
Could you raise your right hand, please? The testimony you're about to give is truthful?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. If you could give us your full name and spell your last name for our secretary.
David Patel, last name P-A-T-E-L. And I'm the landlord for the next neighbor, Advance Auto.
Sir, can you use the microphone, please?
Yeah, under Lawrence 1 LLC. And I'm just concerned about overflow of the traffic in case there is not enough parking. it's going to flow on our side of the parking, and having a deliveries for the for my tenant, Advance Auto, see if that's going to restrict or any issue with that. And then I have a couple other questions, which I have. This if they have a overcrowded in case, I know I heard that it's going to be 30 people or 40. But if in case if there is an event other than a parade in the future, and if there is a more people, it's that's going to be crowded around my property, or is that's going to be a risk for the traffic going through out, because it's one way going in and going out the other way. So if there are people standing in front of the parking on that property, I'm just concerned about that risk having, you know, driving people around. And the noise and disturbance, you know, I heard everything, so I'm not going to talk about that. But just main thing of public safety, you know, concern this, you know, whenever, if there's a concern, you know. And it's a, the Advance Auto is for the retail people, and they want to make sure that they go there, get their stuff, and they don't want to see people in that area. So I just want to get some opinions, see if they have anything, any input on those.
I would just note, first off, Mr. Patel, thanks for coming out tonight and for your concerns. As you've already heard from Ms. Mason, she wants to be a good neighbor too, so that goes with your client and as well as members of the board. So it's a valid point. Concerning events, right, if there's any sort of a special event, Ms. Mason has to obtain a permit in order to have that, right? So any overflow parking would have to be dealt with in confines of that permit. Does your tenant have a designated parking area for their cars?
No.
No, they don't. Okay. I mean, I think we've heard some testimony this evening from our professional as well as the township's professionals that say there should be sufficient parking given the cross, not smart enough to use that word, cross access, right,
yeah,
of the uses here. So we don't anticipate that would be an issue, and I believe the board agrees with that assessment. In the event that there's an issue, we would invite your client to reach out to Ms. Brannigan as well as my office if it needs to, to address any issues that come up. I don't anticipate there would be one, right? These are churchgoers, not troublemakers, so.
I do respect your decision. I mean, I
understand.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
I think I saw another hand in the back coming up.
Sir, if you'd raise your right hand, swear a testimony about to give us truthful. Thank you. Could you give us your full name, spell your last name?
Edwin Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R.
Thank you.
I'm actually the drummer for... So...
Didn't even plan it, did you?
Just to address what you were saying, the current church that we was at was surrounded around, like it was surrounded by mostly residential areas. We never had a noise complaint. Even if it was on, like during the week, which we rarely had an event during the week, we never had a noise complaint. So I just want to, you know, reaffirm and assure. I pretty much pad the drums for the most part, and we got a shield. That, as far as noise, I doubt, like Jeff said, you'll have a noise complaint when it comes to, especially us, because, you know what, an hour and a half, if that, you know, we're playing music, it's not even that long sometimes. So I just wanted to just let you know, like, we never had a noise complaint since we've been in our church. And we're talking over 10 years.
In that location. In that 21 years.
So that's just, you know, all I wanted to say.
Okay. Any other members of the public? Okay. So then, for the board to consider this evening, we have the
whether or not we want to grant the exemption of the waiver of the site plan, and then secondly, the D1 use variance. So should we talk about these separately, I guess, the site plan waiver first, or...
I think the items you need to discuss are the noise and the landscaping.
I've heard a couple of different opinions amongst the board members about these two issues. We've now heard additional testimony from the drummer and also from the owner of one of the neighboring properties. Mr. Cohen, do you feel that some of the concerns that you've raised have been adequately addressed? Are you, one of the conditions for approval that's come up has been related to the soundproofing tiles?
I don't want to belabor the point, and we have not heard from any neighbors, but this, forgetting about the front, which is Route 1, there's no, or Brunswick Avenue, yeah, there's cars, there's no question about that. Although we don't have any representation from the neighbors behind, I'm just concerned, especially on Sunday morning when people are home, that, we heard testimony saying, the drumming noise is respectably a reasonable level. We're approving something that will be indefinite, not, for the next couple of years. There could be different drummers, different, keyboardists, whatever. I did like the proposal that you mentioned about, find some type of sound barrier around the instruments, the instruments that can be loud, just to make sure that they're in compliance with neighborhood ordinances regarding noise. I hear noise ordinances all the time, but at the same token, by the time you call the police and the police don't want to get involved, and I think we heard a perfect testimony a couple of meetings ago. So we know what, if a neighbor calls the police about noise ordinances, it's not much they can realistically do. So I'm just concerned about that, but I think the solution was very simple, to have a board around any loud instrument to kind of muffle the sound and keep it in the space or in the building, as far as we're concerned, and, not affect the residential neighbors directly behind the building.
Other members of the board, do we feel like that is an adequate compromise that would be satisfying the concerns that we had related to noise?
I do. I also know, again, no members of the public from the surrounding property owners are here. I'm not saying that doesn't, I respect.
And they receive notice.
Yeah, I respect what Mr. Cohen said, but I also think, hey, sometimes you got to be able to step up and say something, but I think it's a great compromise, especially that the tenant, and it sounds like perhaps the property owner are all on board with doing something here.
Okay. It's not a deal breaker for me, but I feel like it's an unreasonable burden. I think we can just have them state as a condition that they'll agree to apply to the township noise ordinance and take any actions to mitigate after the fact if it becomes a problem.
So
but again, I'm not going to vote it down just because you include that in there.
Sure. So perhaps the middle ground here is for the applicant to consider and implement reasonable interior solutions to mitigate noise around the musical instruments.
We found some reasonable
sound
like we got links in my phone now.
I think we should be flexible in this. We just want you to know our concerns about noise, and we should put some language in there. We don't have to dictate to them right now how they're going to, keep the noise level down, but, they had to make reasonable accommodations.
Yep.
And let them have some flexibility.
Would adding in the trees or bushes be a nice compromise to both address the fact that they're tall and sparse and to address noise potentially?
I don't know anything about the noise dampening effects of trees.
I mean, vegetation helps somewhat, but
I don't think you can get anything thick enough there that would.
Yeah.
Bamboo?
That'll piss off
the neighbors. Well, I mean, the one property has a wooden stockade fence at the top of the wall. Actually, wooden fences do a good job of absorbing some sound, but
you know.
Okay,
there you go. It would help a little bit, but not significantly.
So then this brings us to the second question. Tonight we discussed potential conditions around screening of the rear of the property for the residential spaces. We heard from Mr. Johnson and his opinion that it puts an undue burden on the applicant given their status as a tenant rather than an owner of the property. I'd just be curious about other reactions from the board for the record.
I concur with Mr. Johnson that stated there.
I agree with that. I apologize. The property is old. It's been through numerous hands over the 4 or 5 decades, and it's never been an issue before. I don't think we need to make an issue. It's not going to, it's what I think is the problem. It's not going to deafen any noise. So I don't feel, because most of the people on the support, I don't feel strongly that we need to have some redo landscaping.
Okay. All right, so it sounds like we would not be adding any conditions related to screening at the rear of the property with this consideration of this application. So in terms of granting the D1 use variance, as we heard, we're looking at this from as an inherently beneficial use and using the CEQA balancing test and the 4 parts. So I would ask the board to, if they have any additional comments related to the public interest that's at stake, the potential, I think we've covered the potential detrimental effects. We've covered the conditions related to potential granting of this variance. And it's for the board to discuss whether this poses any substantial detriment to the intended purpose of the master plan. So.
Do we need to talk about the waiver? I mean, I'm fine with it, but I don't know how it needs discussion.
I think we need to talk about it.
Put something on the record as to the appropriateness of a site plan waiver for a tenant occupying the building, which no improvements were requested by the board.
Yeah, I think really where the board is permitted to waive it is essentially all physical characteristics of the property and any changes, which there are none. So that's kind of the standard that we should use.
And the only other condition is, we discussed it, and I think everybody kind of agreed to it, the handicap parking has to be met to current standards, so whatever that meant, which is a safety concern, I guess, and that was brought up at the beginning of this.
I think that the applicant had agreed to discuss with the landlord how that could be updated. And as pointed out, this is a tenant and not the owner of the property. So I think that if the applicant's attorney, you know, makes the attempt to have this done, if not, it becomes kind of an enforcement thing on my end, doesn't it?
You know, I don't think it's up for us as to determine. You know, we have to make a decision what we want. It's up to the landlord and the tenant to, you know, work something out. We have to set a condition, whatever we want, and then we shouldn't worry about the landlord versus tenant. That's something they can work out themselves outside of the preview of the board. So if this board feels strongly that handicap, you know, needs to be come up to current code, and we're not talking that much money, we're not talking that many issues, it's just whatever the current code is, I don't think it's difficult to comply with.
I guess my sort of response to that would be, I understand what the conditions or potential conditions that we're discussing around noise and buffering from the residential properties, those had a rational nexus to the relief that's being requested. And I'm not sure when it comes to something like restriping a parking space that's more of a code issue, if that's something that falls and meets the same criteria. So that's a question for you.
Well,
fair point.
So if we were not waiving the requirement for site plan approval, that is an issue that we would be discussing.
Okay.
So, and it's our obligation as a board to make sure that when a site comes in, that it does comply with the current code, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the landlord's obligation too, but you know, I've been involved in many situations where, you know, handicap parking hasn't been updated in 20 years and it's not compliant with the current code. So I don't think it's unreasonable we're going to waive the site plan, we don't really have any control to hold the applicant to it. I think, honestly, in my opinion, it's a landlord issue. Because they're signing a lease with a landlord who is providing use of a site. You know, they're not responsible for parking spaces or any of the exterior of the site. So, I don't know, it's a tough one.
Well, I like the suggestion of the applicant's attorney trying to work with the landlord and try and make it happen. And yeah, if they can't facilitate something, then
then you'll give them a violation.
How's that? Exactly
where I was going. Sounds like a good solution. Right out. Do it or you'll get a violation. How's that?
I think we can make it happen.
Yeah, okay.
So with all of that, then the board has two things to decide on. Again, the waiver, the granting of the site plan waiver, and the D1 use variance. So I would entertain motions related to this application.
We can't do them in bulk. We got to do them separately.
Okay, we can do them
together. Yeah. Okay. All right. I will move that we approve the waiver of the site plan requirement and approve the site variance.
So it's, just remember, it's the D1, and then we have the parking variance.
D1, oh yes, correct. I'm sorry, I forgot about the parking variance and the parking variance as well.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And this is with the conditions that, they're not very many conditions that we, the suggestion that we have some noise dampening internal.
Well, I mean, starting with a waiver, as Jim pointed out, if we didn't waive it and they had to come back for site plan, it would be something that the landlord would have to address because it's his site. So I think that waiver, we can put some language in there which could entice him to say, wow, well, I'm glad I don't have to come back and take care of this. So I think we can take care of that. And that would involve restriping or updating the striping to be current on the handicapped parking and working with the township staff to fill in any of the missing shrubbery along the back line for the residences. So that would be...
I think we dropped that one.
Oh, we're not going to do
no,
that?
No, the board... You the majority of the board trucks? Didn't want to impose that condition.
Oh, okay, good. Well, then it should be easy then. It's just striping the handicap part.
And we're asking the applicant to make reasonable accommodations to dampen the noise from the musical instruments.
Already
inside.
In my Amazon part.
Great.
That's a drama.
So the Amazon cart and comply with the noise ordinance.
Okay. I think we're ready to vote then.
Mr. Blaney?
Yes.
Mr. Cohen?
Yes.
Ms. Holtham?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Sigalakis?
Yes.
And Mr. Kamosko?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a great night.
Have a good night.
Thank you. We have our next meeting on October 15th to the applicant from the summer coming back.
There's a complete of a